You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today we are with Mike Bellamente, the director of Climate Counts, a nonprofit organization that rates corporations on how well they measure, reduce, and report their greenhouse gas emissions. Prior to joining Climate Counts, Mike served 4 years as a primary environmental liaison for a national economic development nonprofit in Washington, D.C. Mike, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Great. I appreciate you having me on, Eric. It's an honor.
Well, it's an honor for us as well. So now, what was the motivation for founding Climate Counts, and what is the goal of the organization?
Certainly. The organization was actually the brainchild by Gary Hirschberg of Stonyfield Farm fame. He's been a bit of a visionary in the organics market, and he said, hey, there's got to be a better way out there to help consumers make informed choices if they want to be green, if they want to help save the environment, and we got to set something up that could help them do that. So I came on last year, and what we basically do is we have a scorecard, a very easy to understand scorecard of 150 major businesses and their approach to climate leadership and environmental issues. So it's a 0 to 100. If a company is scoring poorly, then they're on the lower end, and if they're scoring well, they're in the upper end of that scorecard. And there's also a red, green, yellow type stoplight indicator of how companies are performing. But the real goal is to bring back the connection of what a person buys. They might not realize it when they buy it, but there's an environmental impact associated with it. And as anybody knows, climate change was a hot topic 5 years ago, but nobody wants to talk about it anymore, and nobody's really keeping tabs on things to that extent. So we're working more with companies. We've managed our message now to be more collaborative with companies who are doing well on this, to say, hey, the issue hasn't stopped. It might be more political, it might be more heated now, but we still have that same mission to bring awareness to an issue in a very kind of pro-business way.
As it relates to your ratings, how can you apply what you've learned about multinational corporations in a way that would be helpful to entrepreneurs and young startup organizations?
Yeah, absolutely, Eric. I think aside from not having to hunt down startup capital, big businesses have many of the same concerns as the smaller guys, just on a grander scale. Mainly, how do you keep the lights on, right? So when we look at what can we do over the long run to reduce our costs and maximize profits, in many cases, increased operational efficiency and reduction of waste streams is right at the top of the list. If we look at one of the largest companies that scored very well on our scorecard, Unilever, the makers of Dove and Body Axe and several other brands that your listeners might be familiar with, they don't just have a sustainability department, but rather they have metrics up and down the value chain as it relates to resource optimization, from raw material extraction to product development to packaging to consumer engagement on product use and disposal. These are principles that can be applied at every level of business, even the smallest levels of business, where, hey, we don't have a lot of money. We want to do what we can with what we have, and making those efforts more efficient is only going to help us get there. The other thing is, as with any company, large or small, A company has to look at what risks are out there that are material to their business, and how do they reduce the exposure to those risks. As sustainability has become ingrained in the vernacular across all industries, we're starting to see certain patterns emerging. So as it relates to our space on climate change, companies don't necessarily look at the risk of climate change impacts on their whole business. I mean, that's you don't just say, oh, climate change is coming, let's change our whole business model. But what they do is they look at components of their business that are influenced by climate change. So SAP, for example, the software giant, they would have what's called a materiality matrix that shows how exposed they are to certain things or certain components of their business, like energy spikes, increased raw material prices, disruption of trade routes from severe weather events, or how perhaps the siting of new manufacturing facilities might be impacted by, say, water constraints in drought-prone areas of the Southwest or in other parts of the world. Similarly, because of the costs associated with hybrid technology, you don't see UPS necessarily going out and changing their whole brown box or fleet of trucks, those big brown box trucks, to hybrids, because it's just cost prohibitive. What they do is they look completely outside their paradigm and say, hey, if we can achieve our service agreements of shipping a package from, let's say, Philadelphia to New York, without having to drive a truck that consumes a bunch of gas, hey, we'll put it on a rail car that is even more beneficial economically and reduces our environment.
Mike, why do you think it's important for the business community to drive the discussion on climate change?
That's an interesting question, Eric. And honestly, it's more of a philosophical thing. I think it's the discussion around climate change has become so heated and so negatively charged that nobody wants to listen to it anymore. It's off the topic of everybody's radars. And you don't see it in the political debates, and you don't see it, anybody talking to it in your friend circles anymore. It was like a flash in the pan. So scientists are blamed or kind of criticized for not being able to simplify the facts. Activists are accused of just beating people over the head to the point that people feel guilty about it and just almost want to rebel. And politicians are divided on the conversation right down the aisle. So I think what we need and what needs to happen is there needs to be a more measured tone without the alarmist factor, without the clouding of the discussion on the issue that comes from the business community, because there's several corporations, major corporations out there that people don't realize that are taking the head on this. So IBM, AstraZeneca, Hewlett-Packard, Nike, you look at all their 10K financial reports or their sustainability reports, their CEOs are talking about, hey, as a company, we're mitigating our risk related to climate change. And it's from a business perspective. So I think if more people knew that was going on at the highest level with the biggest captains of industry, it would have a lot greater impact than, Al Gore polarizing the issue or somebody that might not be as revered because they don't have the business acumen. They don't realize that it's important for it to come from the business community. Me personally, I'm a business guy. I have an MBA, and I just thought it would be important to help move this issue from an economic standpoint, because that's really what needs to happen.
Today we are joined by Mike Bellamente, the director of Climate Counts, a nonprofit organization that rates corporations on how well they measure, reduce, and report their greenhouse gas emissions, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. What are some of the fundamental differences between top-performing companies on your scorecard and those performing poorly?
Yeah, excellent, Eric. So I'd say that the number one difference in a company that scores well and a company that's performing poorly is all in the approach. So just like a company that doesn't have a marketing strategy or a sales strategy or a product development strategy, a company without a sustainability strategy is destined to have a poor performance on their climate leadership score. So companies might call me up after we do our annual release in December saying, hey, I don't know what you guys are talking about. We invested $10 million in solar paneling last year. Well, that might very well be true, but usually that same company is more doing it for the optics or the perception of appearing green, so that what you hear is the greenwashing of something. But what they don't do is have a comprehensive strategy like those Unilevers who embed it from product development to product distribution, that they don't even know, perhaps they don't measure their carbon emission levels to date. They don't have a target. So let's say we plan to reduce our emissions 20% by 2015 with a 2005 baseline. They don't report out to the public on their emissions levels, and then they really just don't have a comprehensive strategy or target. So those are that's pretty much how you're going to score poorly, is if you don't have a cohesive strategy around this very important issue.
What is the biggest obstacle surrounding the work that you do?
Honestly, it's the I think the fact that this has become such a negatively charged topic. As I mentioned, I come from the private sector, and I just thought it would be interesting to get into something that a part of the solution on kind of we see our world kind of going in a direction that we got to change what we do, and I thought it would be a pretty positive thing. But little did I know, honestly, that'd be an uphill battle from day to day, especially getting the message out here in the U.S. I was talking to one of the folks at Coca-Cola last week, and if you may have watched the Super Bowl and you saw that they had that campaign with the polar bears, and they bleached all their Coke, their cans white, and nobody really caught what the message was. Well, in Canada, it was much more overt about it was an initiative about bringing awareness to climate change and the Arctic habitat of the polar bear. But here they knew it wouldn't sell, it wouldn't go over well. Well, you know, in Canada they can say climate change and people aren't going to say, oh, socialist, communist, what are you talking about? So it's a lot more just accepted as fact as it is in Europe and parts in mostly Asia, most of the other parts of the world. They've gone by beyond this point of rejecting the science or skepticism or just saying doom and gloom and saying, hey, this is an issue we need to fight each other on, and they're saying they're already at the solutions space of things. So I think that's been the biggest obstacle to instead of having a collaborative discussion with the people I interface with day to day, that there's still people out there that want my head and want the head of people that are just trying to educate and bring awareness to it. So I feel like although we're going a bit backwards from where we were in 2005 and 2006, there are some really forward, innovative thinkers at every levels of business that see this as an issue that we just got to come in and help out on.
Yeah, no question about that. So in conclusion and customary on the show, Mike, what advice could you lend to the entrepreneur that's desiring to start a business or to initiate a creation of their own by putting it on the map in the marketplace? Where would you start?
Yeah, absolutely. As you're getting with any business, and this I alluded to it earlier, but I think managing risk. So as you go into what you're going to do, if you have widgets, if you have a service that you think is going to be good, and you want to just blow it out of the water from the day you get your first dollar all the way up to the fact that you grow to a Fortune 100 company, you want to look at the things that are going to make you successful. You want to have good values, and above all else, you want to manage your risk. You want to make the investments that are going to pay off, but you got to accept some risk with that. And as I mentioned, managing your risk is equally as important to entrepreneurs as it is to major corporate players. So as we mentioned with climate change and environmental stuff, look at those things that are going to be material to your businesses. And it doesn't have to be about climate change, but just in general, at looking at your business. So that means, you know, look at the trends and skate to where the puck is going to be, as Wayne Gretzky would say, on things, cost to raw materials and impacts on trade distribution routes and spiking energy prices, and try to avoid those before they actually come to your door.
Good advice. He is Mike Bellamente, the director of Climate Counts, a nonprofit organization that rates corporations on how well they measure, reduce, and report their greenhouse gas emissions. And the website of reference is climatecounts.org. Mike, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much, Eric. Good day.
You're welcome, and this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.